Thank you, Beth. And I just would like to also acknowledge a couple of the other authors that we have on our presentation, including Beth, but also Doug Young, who's from the city of Salinas, and then Erica Padilla Chavez, who when I first submitted this abstract was our Health and All Policies Manager, and is a lot of the work that you're going to see was started under her facilitation, and is now with Santa Cruz County, which is just to the north of Monterey County, and where they're doing Health and All Policies now under her guidance. So we're just spreading the love of Health and All Policies in Central California. We have no financial relationships to disclose. Today I'm going to just go fairly quickly through the first points of the outline of where we are, why collective impact, why HEAP, and how you can use collective impact with HEAP. And then Carmen's going to get up and talk about what we've been working on specifically in Monterey County with our Building Healthy Communities partners with the city of Salinas. And then I'll come back and talk to you very briefly about some of our lessons learned, where if you download the PowerPoint, then there's just some points that you can take home and potentially use in your own localities. You already heard we're here on the Central Coast where that green arrow is pointing. And just like many counties across the nation, there are significant health inequities and social economic disparities within our county. And from Monterey is about the size of the state of Rhode Island. So, and we have about 450,000 people. Our largest seat is in Salinas, which is the darker census tracts there up in the center is where the city of Salinas is located. But you can see going from Monterey along the coast, which everyone associates with us, and golfing and being on the ocean, where we have very high median income for the population and high education levels, down over to Greenfield, which is really only about 30 miles away, where we have a very young population, low income levels, low literacy. And we have significant differences in our potential years of life lost between those two communities. So collective impact we found to be a very effective modality that we can work under. I just consider it the conditions under which, I'm going to explain that, the conditions under which collaborators can be more successful to get towards the outcomes that they're striving towards. And if any of you worked in collaboratives, sometimes it can seem like you're herding cats. And there's a video that they actually use when you're getting some of your collective impact training from John Canyon and others at any of their FSG trainings, which is this great Super Bowl commercial where it shows cowboys herding cats and how difficult it is, but how rewarding it is for them to do so. So I just want you to keep that in mind if you use collective impact. There's another video they use, which is like starlings whirling together, and there's three conditions under which that works. And it's the same idea, that things that can be quite complex can actually work when you're using the conditions of collective impact moving forward together to get to an outcome. And what are those conditions? Well, we have shared vision, so everyone's coming together towards a common shared vision. They start to get mutually reinforcing activities. If you're working towards childhood obesity, for example, which is a complex problem, you can raise one child with one set of parameters, and then you use the same set of parameters with another child, and you get a completely different outcome. But if you have these parameters of good parenting that you can learn about and use those, but then be flexible, use different activities or approaches, then you can get towards great productive adults. So the mutually reinforcing activities, say with childhood obesity, might be looking at all your sugar-sweetened beverage policies that you're looking at developing across your county with all your different partners and how you may align those together. Continuous communication, and I expand this myself to think about how you're also educating and informing the community and all your partners about the area that you're working on and the interfacing of health, in our case, with land use planning. This has been a very important part of our process. But that can also include how you email, how you have face-to-face conversations and intentionally set up those face-to-face conversations, how you have listservs, how you push out webinars, all that kind of thing. You just have to do it continuously and be very conscientious about that and have a plan for doing so. Also, shared measurement systems. This is the hardest part for collaboratives, and we're even still, even though we've been doing HEAP now for about 3 to 4 years, are still now just moving forward with a real shared measurement system approach in our county. And then very important is that backbone support organization, which you already heard Leanne give a great description of. So in our county, we first heard about HEAP through the Leadership Academy for Public Health in California, and I just wanted to give a homage here to Carol Woltring. She was the head of that. She just passed away a few weeks ago, and I think our work here really commends the work of all the leadership academies across the United States. And then also at the same time, we were engaged in a strategic planning process, the beginning of accreditation, the path for accreditation for our health department. We are pushing the button in 2 weeks. But in going out to the community, talking to the community, we heard so much from them that, yes, these are health issues, but we also have issues in these other areas that we need even more help with. And these were more of the social determinants of health, the upstream factors, transportation, housing, education, et cetera. And that's when we realized that we needed to get more involved in health and all policies in our county. And in particular, because we knew already from some of the health profiles that we've been doing that we had significant health inequities in our county by race, ethnicity, gender, age, and that it's not just about equality. I'm sure you've seen this slide before, because everyone, if they start at the same starting point, they don't necessarily all start from the same place. With equity, it's about that fairness and bringing that in and the lens of that. So all of our health and all policies work, we definitely are infusing the equity lens as well as the health lens. So I also wanted to point out that health and all policies, if you're planning for the future of where health departments are going, and I think believe it's the Institute of Medicine report about health departments in the 21st century, and they really call out the role for health departments in engaging and empowering the community, and really developing closer ties and partnerships with community organizations. And we have found that health and all policies has helped our health department be even more responsive to the community needs that were identified and finding those partners out there. Also, with the health department, we've been able to bring community members to the table to talk about what are kind of considered unhuman topics or maybe very confusing topics. Most people don't have backgrounds in planning, including many people in health departments, public health, unless they have gone through maybe the environmental health track. And by us looking at how we have language in common with planners and with engineers, and where we have those differences, we've found where we can make bridges and then bring the community along on those bridges as well. And then vice versa. Some of the community organizations are now also hiring staff who really have that ability to speak that language and are bringing the health department along as well. So it's been very beneficial on both sides. The health department is often seen as an expert when it comes to data preparation and presentation, and health and all policies is just another area and sector really where the health department can bring its skills to bear and be useful for the community to address those identified community needs. We've also been able to, I think, broaden a lot of the partnerships that are out there and create tables where we can bring partners together as we work out where we can have some win-win opportunities or co-benefits. And health and all policies, these are all parts of the health department in the 21st century, and health and all policies really speaks well to all of these in an upstream approach and in policy. And in particular, I want to say it really does create a sort of convening umbrella under which health departments can bring a lot of their policy work together and where the community sees where we fit into a variety of sectors. So as I mentioned, we did our strategic plan, and actually this was really important, and I would highly recommend this. Put health and all policies into your strategic plan. Your community is going to basically be asking for it if you're doing your community dialogue process. And when we took it to the Board of Supervisors to approve it, they gave us the mandate to move forward to work on health and all policies. That means they also gave us the mandate to restructure and create a planning unit, which I'm the head of, and for our director to allocate funding to that unit. So initially the funding was charges out to all the other bureaus or divisions within the health department. That meant we were there as a service for them as well. So we also provided other products for them, helped them with some of their assessments that they were needing or evaluations, and a variety of other things. But we also, at the same time, we're working on health and all policies and creating a health and all policies lens opportunities with them. So, for example, with environmental health, we started looking at sort of the more upstream social determinants of health work as they worked on commenting on planning and permit areas. We now have a significant portion of our funding coming from realignment funds in California, which is funds that come from the state but through taxes. And that's up to the discretion of the director as to where he allocates those funds, he or she would allocate those funds. And then I also just want to give a shout out to the California Endowment, which gave us some very important seed money in our first year of doing health and all policies, which also gave it a lot of credibility in the eyes of our supervisors. So as we move forward and continue to ask for some expansion of our work, they really saw that we were getting other support from it. And also we could then leverage that, and we were able to receive another grant in the area of transportation that I think in part was due to us having more capacity to work with our transportation partners. And then, so what we did is we created a manager position so that we have her, in this case, leading the backbone work for our health and all policies. And she has a unit under her within our planning, evaluation, and policy unit that works specifically on health and all policies and health equity. The other thing going forward is how it fits into, as part of accreditation, is the community health improvement plan. So we worked health and all policies into that as well. And I mentioned that I'm part of other collective impact initiatives because in the last 4 years we've had several start up in the county. So about four that relate to violence prevention in our county. We have the highest homicide rate in California. And then we also have an early childhood development initiative and a new cradle to career initiative. And then a few others that haven't really thought of themselves necessarily as collective impact initiatives, but they're essentially doing that, you know, related to girls' health and education, for example. And so by putting it into our CHIP, we also could show how it aligned with a lot of the other initiatives and could, not only was it its own initiative, but it could support these other initiatives with the work that we were doing. So again, it gave it more credibility and credence with our work going forward with our electeds, both within the county for the supervisors, as well as then now for some of the cities with the partnerships we were developing there and the councils. And then I mentioned the other thing we're doing, so if you think of the collective impact conditions, it's about not only having that backbone and having that common vision like we do within a community health improvement plan, but also having that data dashboard and or data sharing. And so first of all, what we're moving forward with is a data dashboard. And this is going to be all the initiatives working together. We have already put in there and created what we call our hot A mess, our HAM matrix, of all the indicators, and because there's several initiatives, there's a lot, but there's a lot in common. And we can, what we're hoping to do is develop this, go out on RFP, where we're all putting funds in together to have a software platform to just have a data dashboard that's linking to all the strategies and the work going forward and how people can get involved, so it'll be very user-friendly for the community. And maybe even potentially start to be used by community members or even the funding agencies for reporting purposes, which I saw a presentation on others doing. And then down the road, we really want to get into true data sharing between the agencies where it can work at multiple levels, from case management up to aggregate and tracking improvements in outcomes. So if you want to do this, I mentioned it's also about that continuous communication, and we have a variety of measures in place to do that, but it really importantly was creating awareness, and bringing in a lot of peer-to-peer support was very important. We brought in planners, we used some of that seed funding from the California Endowment to pay for symposiums where we could bring in planners and engineers from and city managers, city leaders from across the county. And that, I think, was very beneficial for us as we began to move forward with some of the specific cities, because then they knew that this was a priority for us. And some of them had already begun to work just a little bit in this area, and we were able to find some of those commonalities and move forward. And Carmen will talk about that in a little bit. We also have and recognize the need for an inside-outside strategy. This comes from the California Endowment, and that's where we had to develop capacity within the health department and understanding. There's a bit of change management here going on within our health department, so we had to develop a Health and All Scholars, Health Equity Scholars Academy training. Laquana Williams, our health equity coordinator, presented on that this morning, and is modeled after one that Riverside County and Alameda County did. And then we also have developed a academy for the community, our Enlace program, which is Leadership and Civic Engagement Academy, and our graduating scholars across the county, and they're working on small community-driven projects within their neighborhoods. So key to all of our work is we first said, let's go out and do a health element for the county, and the Board of Supervisors like, great, and yet our general plan has been in litigation for the past 4 years. Not a good time to bring in a health element for the county. But our city of Salinas was already interested in doing economic development element. So we completely restructured, reorganized what we were going to do. I remember having some great conversations with Erica about this. And it's rather than like, what, they're doing an economic development element and they didn't ask us and we've been talking to them about a health element? It wasn't about that. It was like, this is a priority. This is a city that's really hurting economically. How can we also bring in other aspects to that economic development element that reflect the city needs? So Carmen is going to talk about that. But very briefly, collaboratives need the upstream partners. And we had to also be very strategic in how we move forward in bringing those upstream partners. And that included community engagement. And so we had some win-win opportunities in all three of these areas that will be tied in with Carmen's presentation on our work on in the city of Salinas.
Okay, good afternoon. So in Monterey County, we really have a regional approach going on. As you can see up here, we have three committees currently formed throughout our county. HEAP Salinas Advisory Council, HEAP Seaside, HEAP South County. Today I'm really going to focus more in depth in the Salinas one, so you know a little bit more about what we're doing and some of the successes we've had. But I do want to just orient you a little bit on some of the work the other committees have engaged in. Here's a map of Monterey County. You can see where the Salinas is in the green area. And you'll also see that a lot of our work in the Salinas area has been around their elements or their, that go into their general plan. In some of the other communities, we focus on smoke-free housing, safe routes to school, and active transportation work. So for the Salinas HEAP, we've employed a collective impact approach that brought together stakeholders from multiple disciplines to come together, share ideas, learn, and collectively work on furthering the HEAP approach. This included subject matter experts from county departments, affordable housing developers, city staff that included planners, community development folks, etc. And we initially started with bringing people together to really learn about the social determinants of health. We thought that was a good way to start a solid foundation so that everybody was kind of working off the same page. And it really helped them see their area of work and how it tied to health. And that they actually had a role to play in moving a HEAP approach. A mutually reinforcing opportunity presented itself in 2014. Wherein, as Chris has stated, the City of Salinas and some of its business partners were looking to develop an economic development element. Its original frame, as you can see on the PowerPoint, was really to prime the City of Salinas to become the agricultural technology capital. However, there were things that were missing within their proposed plan. A lot of it was related to some of those the residents that were most in need. So when Wealthy Healthy Communities, a 10-year initiative, as stated earlier, supported by the California Endowment that was working with the health department to advance health equity, came together with partners, they realized that there was some critical items missing from the proposed plan that included really training opportunities for agricultural workers, further community involvement in the process, and also the economic indicators that consider place, race, and economic status. Surprisingly, when these issues were lifted up to the partners working on the economic development element and City of Salinas staff, due to the relationships that were already established, they were open and willing to collaborate to make the development plan even better. So what happened was that opportunity really led to a successful collaboration between all these different partnering entities. What was employed next was the inside-outside strategy, again, that Krista alluded to earlier. The health department wanted initially to push for a health element, but really saw this as an opportunity to really push for a health lens into their economic development element. Externally, we worked on the outside strategy with local CBOs to engage communities of color throughout the development process. We also trained HEAP members in the intersection of economic development and health. And now non-traditional partners saw their connection to the plan and health and ways that they could contribute to this proposed plan that was coming forth. We had extensive community outreach and engagement opportunities. This is a photo of a booth, bilingual booth that was held at a local Ciclovia event. It engaged communities in a photo booth, a dot exercise, and comment boards so that they can provide input into the plan. Here are some images of the folks that participated in the photo booth, and we took those comments and funneled them through to the policies that we were proposing and to move forward with it through the economic development element. Another strategy that was used was that we co-hosted a community workshop completely in Spanish for community residents, in particular for East Salinas residents. This is something that the city of Salinas had never done before and really thought we were crazy for even proposing the idea. It was facilitated by local residents and, again, in their preferred language. It was attended by youth and adults, business owners, CBO leaders, as well as elected officials. And the exercises really just allowed us to discuss the connection between economic development and health. As you can see, some of the conversations around small groups really talked about household challenges and solutions, neighborhood conditions, future jobs and economic opportunities, entrepreneurship, and neighborhood businesses. So it really brought it to life and brought it to a level where they could relate to why this economic development plan was so important to their daily life. This partnership actually really turned things around, and the involvement within the city's team by the Building Healthy Communities Initiative and the Health Department not only changed the way the element was being presented, but it really changed the framework that they were working under. It now included a health equity frame. Their framework was around workforce and education, land use, and quality of life and public service. Health equity indicators are also now included in their evaluation matrices. We were also able to influence their five-year priority action plan, which is a huge deal for us in the community. And today, the planning director, along with other city staff and council members, actually see health equity as an economic development goal for the city. The process itself was unprecedented, and it demonstrated the capacity of local residents and how valuable their contributions could actually be in such planning documents. The city of Salinas also learned that they really need more culturally appropriate community engagement strategies when it comes to developing these plans that are going to set the stage for the next, 10, 20, 15 years, whatever it may be. And the extensive engagement by community and stakeholders in this process made the element such a success that it not only received a statewide APA Merit Award, it received an Award of Excellence from the APA California Northern Section Award, and it really set a new standard for the way that the city of Salinas conducts its business now. And it also created a model that other local communities are wanting to follow. Another aligned opportunity that I want to share with you is some of the work that the HEAP Salinas has been doing around housing. Housing is also one of the four priority areas that they've decided to work on. And why housing? Because housing is a big issue in Monterey County. One, there's a dearth of available housing, and it's not affordable. So people are left out, or we have a huge issue of overcrowdedness. In partnership with our local HEAP committee partners, CBO partners, local advocacy groups, and a consultant we work with very closely, Ramey and Associates, we developed this housing brief as a tool to really communicate the housing crisis that's going on in Monterey County, and also to show the disparities within our county. So you all have access to it. It's posted electronically, so you can look at it as well. But it shows how the different areas of the county how they are detailed around housing. So you can look at actually Monterey itself, the state of Monterey. You can look at Salinas, some of the South County communities as well. So it really paints a picture of the major disparity between some of our more affluent communities and those that are that have more poverty in them. This tool has been used by our local CBO partners to advocate for housing, and it really has helped set the stage for the conversation of housing as well. It's been widely distributed, and our local officials are actually using it as well. So we see that it has had a huge success. And through those efforts, the HEAP Salinas Committee has also been able to involve themselves in the City of Salinas' housing element. So they were also able to put HEAP principles and a health lens to that particular document. Next on our agenda is also helping to move forward a farm worker needs assessment in response to a farm worker housing development that is going to be coming into our community and the potential for that, what that brings. Other opportunities where we will continue to integrate HEAP within our countywide efforts include including a health equity lens to our climate action plan, which is currently underway and which we have already started to do. We also plan to continue to connect HEAP work to our county's governing for racial equity work, which is also moving currently in our county, and really to continue to promote the health equity and HEAP lens throughout all the opportunities that arise throughout the county. And finally, we will focus on equity as part of a data dashboard and broader alignment throughout our other collective impact initiatives that are moving there as well. Chris is going to talk more about our lessons learned with this work, and then we will answer any questions you have afterwards.
Hold the questions? Yes. So we had some challenges moving forward, and you've heard some of them, I think, but really what's important as you work on HEAP to consider, probably our challenges would be similar to what others might experience as they're moving forward with HEAP, is that you have to spend time on getting people engaged and having them understand their role in health, whether it's members from the community to even within the health department as it comes to a health and all policies approach to out with other agencies and partners within other organizations out in the community. And then obtaining consensus on what to work on collectively takes time as well, and we had several Health and All Policy Council meetings as we went through the guide for local health departments, states and local health departments that the city, state of California had put together. They gave us a bit of a preview of sections of it that helped us utilize that as a resource moving forward, and actually they've got 8 or 9 sections, I always forget, but domains basically, and we use that talking with our community for prioritizing what to work on, and that's where housing and economics came up in the top 4. And then you have to think about your funding and your time constraints of all your partners as you move forward and be very strategic with both, but it is possible to find funding in a variety of small pots and bring it to bear on this. I think the health department itself needs to work as a neutral convener and a conduit to policymakers in the same arenas, basically. So we can be seen as neutral, bringing together the community as well as the agencies. And then because usually the director is sitting in department head meetings with other directors, that's a real chance for him or her to do some very strategic education and partnership development for any of the staff that are working on health and all policies within the health department. As I mentioned before, we've leveraged funding. Also, just remember the health department can really be the evidence-based experts in bringing in the lessons learned from others as you're moving forward. I really would like to stress the use and utility of national accreditation as part of the process, and you can weave it in. Health and all policies can really be woven in throughout that of the 400 or so plus standards and measures. We're utilizing a lot of our health and all policies work to document, show the documentation that we've met those. I've also mentioned about having to allocate the staff and resources, and I skipped over this, but I want to really talk about the lessons learned about collective impact. And they talk about getting the right people on the bus, and I think it's really important to keep in mind who you're bringing to the table and when you're bringing them to the table and how you're bringing them to the table. So we've had lots of conversations about this and over this, and you have to almost have like little think tanks within your staff about this, because so many other things are happening politically out in your various city and or county realms that you have to be very aware of and strategically position yourself moving forward, looking for where you may leverage or finding those little wedges to get in there. Over communication was very critical as part of this, And we were generally quite transparent always in what we were doing around health and all policies with our new partners. And then use the FSG resources. There's a lot more coming out all the time, and this is a shameless plug for them. But they have blogs, so it's really quick, easy reading, and I find a lot of useful tools there and reminders of how to stick with some of the collective impact conditions moving forward. And I know that Carmen as well is finding that quite useful. And lastly but not least, just like any good collaborator, start with working agreements. How you're bringing together very disparate or partners that aren't used to working together, and it can be very helpful to have some working agreements as you move forward, and thinking about your language and phrasing very consciously as part of that. There's the resources, you can download that, and our contact information.